providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in, Tom, for the second half of KER Politics. I'm going to devote the entire half of the program here, which is close to an hour to, or half an hour to, Joshua Melville. Josh is a very interesting guy. He was on the show a couple of weeks ago. He has written a fascinating book. The reason I find his book to be as fascinating as it is because there is so much anger and angst and going on in our society today. I don't understand why people are in that direction. I don't understand why people are looting, bombing, etc., as it was the case in Seattle, Washington. The only result of the anarchists in Seattle, and maybe this is what they wanted, the only result is that the mayor, Jenny Durkan, decided not to run again for re-election, number one, because she said we could not enforce the law, and the police chief in Seattle resigned because, as she said, I didn't have the tools to do my job. I could not enforce the law. Josh, your father was a very gentle man, but he was very, very driven in terms of making changes to American society. What I want to ask you, just in general terms, first of all, because I think that the answer to this question is relevant in terms of a lot of the people who we have in the United States today, demonstrating, etc., etc. Your father was a very gentle man, John. He composed music, etc., etc. What turned this gentle man into a bomber?
I spent almost 80,000 words trying to answer that question in my book. I'll try to boil it down. And the question you asked me to answer broadly. What applies to my father is probably not the same thing that's applying to the people who are looting stores in the last year in American cities. Might not be exactly the same.
But do you think, but Josh, if I can just interrupt you for a second, but don't you think it's kind of the same mindset, perhaps?
Well, we'll see.
We'll see. You answer the question, John. That's fine. You're fine, Josh. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. So my father's case, he came from a lineage of hardcore Marxist leftists. My grandfather, his father, was an organizer in the Communist Labor Party. So he grew up in an environment of political activism, left-leaning political activism. And as an extension of what used to be called the labor movement in this country, which began in the 1920s and by the time he got to the 1950s was actually kind of almost starting to decline a little bit. So through my grandfather, my father met famous leftists like Paul Robeson and others, Irving Horowitz, who was known for coining the phrase third world, as in third world country. And these are the people that he was exposed to as a teenager, and they had a strong influence on him. Eventually, he and his father had a falling out because he felt his father had sold out all of those Marxist principles when he married a much younger woman, bought a house in a very bourgeois neighborhood in Long Island with a pool, and wanted to put his new son that he had with this younger wife into a private school. And he asked the Communist Labor Party to double his salary. Of course, they said no way, and he quit, and he bought a restaurant. So he became this extremely bourgeois person, and my father was grossly offended by this, felt he had betrayed everything that he had taught him to believe in, and so they never spoke again. And then after that, my grandfather died before my father and he ever had a chance to reconcile. I think this played an enormous role on his psyche. And then my father tried to have a very normal bourgeois life as well. My mother was a provincial woman, born in the Bronx, came from immigrant family, but studied hard in school, got an education degree. And then she met my father, and she was all ready to just settle down, become a good housewife, very 50s model of what a woman should be, 1950s model, and have a child. And they moved into a very nice building, with a doorman. And my father actually developed this kind of bourgeois life as well, maybe perhaps trying to emulate what his father was doing. But after a while, the pressures of supporting a family started to get to him. And then something occurred that was unique to his time, but it's relevant to the broader question as well, because it is now, that set of circumstances is now repeating itself in today's society. You had the New Left movement. The New Left movement were people who were mostly children children whose parents were in the communist labor movement and other things, and they developed their own version of Marxism. And those people ended up eventually, by the mid-60s, turning into civil rights demonstrators and then morphing into SDS, Students for a Democratic Society, which eventually became the Weathermen and also branched out into the Yippies, the Black Panthers, SNCC, and all of the groups that ended up becoming known as the New Left in this country. And all of these groups became a threat to the FBI. They all became targets of the FBI for infiltration and disruption. So amidst this growing counterculture, there was my father, right? Coming from a Marxist background, yet having embraced all the bourgeois accoutrements of a middle-class life, a professional middle-class life, and now this movement is evolving that is seducing him. And so between the pressures of trying to raise a family, which, you know, there are pressures, and the seduction of a new left movement that was not like his father's old movement, where people just said, where old men sat around and intellectualized. This was about action. There were many women involved in this movement. It wasn't a man's movement. There were women, and the morality was much more relaxed at that time, and they were preaching much more relaxed morality. I believe my father just became seduced by this culture and lifestyle, coupled with his ideology that he was raised with. And this is what got him to, and many people, to accept the idea that, yeah, you know, marriage is state control. It's all just a way of controlling us, manipulating us. Meanwhile, you know, this is the way of the future. And so he got involved with the New Left. And then from there, being a very angry man to begin with because of the circumstances of his life, he discovered that this culture embraced anger at the establishment, even to the point of violence. And so if I had to boil down the reason why my father turned and the reason why we're seeing people in today's culture looting stores, it boils down to one word, Alex. It boils down to one word, in my opinion, and that is the word permission. They were given permission. These are angry people. They're angry at a lot of things, mostly personal things. And then they now find themselves in a social environment that is accepting of this anger, where it's cool to be upset with your parents, cool to be angry at your government, and it's cool to do something about it. In fact, it's uncool to not do something about it.
Josh, if I can just interrupt you for a second. So what you're saying is that the anger isn't necessarily specifically directed at what people think it's directed, but the anger comes from, I would have to use the word, potential failure in their own lives. Is that correct?
I'd say that there's a lot of truth to what you just said. Now, I'd like to add that I interviewed many radicals for my book, people who were involved with my father, people who were involved with the Weathermen, Weather Underground, SNCC, most of these New Left groups. I interviewed many, many, many people. And I think I can say with pretty good certainty that not a single one of them that I interviewed would agree with what you just said. Every one of them would think, no, we were justified. We were involved in an illegal war in Vietnam. And Nixon was corrupt. We had to get rid of Nixon. That's why we did all this. And I asked every one of them, why bomb buildings?
Joshua, we gotta take a real quick break for the top of the hour news. Going to be right back. I'm going to continue this subject right back, sir.